be seated. Am I on or off? I don't know. I never quite know. Okay. Well, I'm so glad to be here with you today. My name is Clifton Daniel. I am the Bishop of the Diocese of Pennsylvania. I say that for two reasons. First, I've been bishop here since March, so not for a long time, though I've been a bishop for 16 years in another part of the world, in North Carolina. And I say it because I never know exactly when I stand in a pulpit and look out whether you've been coming to this church since the day after you were born or whether you walked in the door 10 minutes ago. I want to say welcome. The Episcopal Church is a place of welcome for all people. We're all made in God's image. We're all precious in God's sight. And our call as Christians is to honor God's image and to hold one another as precious in God's sight and in our sight. You are welcome in this place, whoever you are, wherever you're from, however you describe yourself or how others describe you. You are welcome here. And if you come back next Sunday, you will hear a good sermon from the rector. Your rector, I have to tell you, is so well respected in this diocese as a leader and as a witness, as a priest and a pastor. He was one of the first priests I met when I came here. He has become a good friend and an honored colleague. If you haven't said thank you to your priest, to Koshy, in the last day or so, why don't you say thank you sometimes today? Maybe give him a hug. Would that be? Yeah. Well, when I was bishop in North Carolina, one Sunday, and I see Peter Stube sitting here, who was the rector of the parish in which this happened. He was in North Carolina then, as rector of Christ Church in Newbern. On Easter Day, Christ Church is a big church. On Easter Day, I was there as bishop, and it was a great service. Oh, Lord, there were drums and trumpets and flowers and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and a long aisle and a great procession. And as I was processing down the aisle, all dressed up in my bishop things, including the hat, I looked down the aisle, and here, about halfway down, was a little girl, about 4 years old, leaning out and looking back, and was obviously smitten with the vision of her bishop coming down the aisle. I thought, hey. So I thought, well, I need to say something to this child. So I get up close to her in the procession, and as I pass by, I lean over and I said, Happy Easter. God bless you. You look lovely today in that beautiful dress, and I hope you have a great Easter day. And as I stepped away, she turned and looked at her mother and said, Mommy, the Easter Bunny did speak to me. So, there's some of the joys of being bishop. Well, we've had such a wonderful teaching from these fine young adults that I'm not going to take too long. They've sort of said it all. But I want to add a couple of things. And I want to first note that I know that this congregation is deeply rooted in this community, deeply rooted by a number of years in this place, and deeply rooted by its mission and ministry through the years. And as I read through the history of St. Peter's, I read about this parish feeding the community, physically feeding the community. When I walked in this morning, I was told that and taken down to the refrigerator room, as I call it, with all these refrigerators and freezers, that, you know, we served 95 families yesterday from our pantry. Through the years, this, especially in the Depression, this congregation had a great ministry of what was then called a soup kitchen, feeding those who had no work and honoring their dignity by feeding them. This parish has a great history woven into its DNA of fellowship during the First War and the Second World War. Members of the armed forces gathered here to be honored and to be cared for by this congregation. This parish has a good history of ecumenical work during the First World War. As I read, the Hungarian Reformed Church had no money because they couldn't get money from Europe during the war. So this parish stepped up and gave money and support and a place to that tradition. And the Greek Catholics who used St. Margaret's Hall, I believe, to worship. This is outreach and being woven into the whole fabric of God's mission and ministry. And then, of course, the outreach missions beyond that, trips, mission trips to El Salvador, to Mississippi, to Appalachia. So feeding and fellowship, ecumenical relations, mission, all a great part, all foundational parts of this congregation of which you can be thankful and proud. It's rooted deeply because it sits on a foundation. This congregation sits on a foundation, a good foundation for mission and ministry in God's kingdom. When I was in seminary one summer, I spent a summer in a very small town in eastern North Carolina of 600 people and served two Episcopal churches in town. That's a whole nother story, but 600 people in two Episcopal churches. One of those churches was St. Anne's, which met in a building that was old and decrepit, and the roof leaked. And the little congregation, about 10 or 12 people, said, "But Dan, Danny, why don't you, would you go to the bishop and ask for money to build a new roof on St. Anne's?" So I did. I pestered the bishop and pestered him, poor man, and I now pay for my sins. But anyway, he finally relented and wrote me a check for $5,000. So I went back to St. Anne's carrying this check and said, "We have our roof, we have our roof." So over the summer, the roof was put on the building. There was great rejoicing. I went back to seminary. And about 6 weeks after I arrived at seminary in Alexandria, I had a phone call from the senior warden, and Herbert. And Herbert said, "Danny," he said, "Mr. Jones, remember Mr. Jones? He lives across the street from St. Anne's." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, he was sitting on his porch late one afternoon, and he said he heard a groan, and he looked up, and as he looked up, the whole church collapsed." And said the county building inspector came by and said the reason the building collapsed was because the new roof was too heavy for the foundations. It's all about the foundations, isn't it? No matter what structure we build, no matter how lovely a congregation, how full the church is, no matter, it's all about how strong the foundation is. So let me say three things to you about what I believe are the foundations of any congregation, of any body of Christians, and certainly I know they are of this congregation. The first foundation of a Christian community, be it a parish, a diocese, a youth group, of an EC, whatever, the first foundation is radical hospitality. All are welcome in this place. It's got to be all are welcome here. Carl Sandburg said, the poet said, that the worst, the most terrible word in the English language was exclusive. The minute a church becomes exclusive in any way, it has lost, it's lost its compass. The church is meant to be that tired word, inclusive, welcoming of all, accepting of all, difficult as it is. Radical hospitality. All are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. The second foundation is a dynamic sense of mission. Christianity and Christians have a story to tell, a story of divine love, a love so deep and broad and wide and reaching that all that is was created out of the heart of the love of God at the heart of, that exists as the heart of the universe. Without God's love, nothing would exist. The second part of the story of divine love is creation of humanity, of you and me and our ancestors and our forebears, and of our betrayal as a race. How somehow Grandfather Adam and Mother Eve learned to distrust God. And once the human race learned to distrust God, we learned to distrust one another, and that has given rise to the sad state that we find ourselves in today. But there's more to the story. There's more to the story. And the more to the story is that there's also divine redemption. God's love is so deep, so broad, so wide, that there's nothing we as humans can do to make God stop loving us. And that's on an individual level, and on the level of all the 4 billion people who live on this planet. The one irrefutable fact of human existence, though not all would claim it, is that God loves us without equivocation. And finally, the third foundation is dynamic worship. A worship that is lively, that has great music, has great preaching, has great fellowship, that fuels our spirits, that gives us courage to go on for one more week until we come back again and are strengthened and renewed and told, you are precious, you are precious. God loves you. There's a place in God's heart for you. And there's a place in our heart for you as well. Brothers and sisters, that's good news. That's good news we don't hear every day. But it's good news that you are called and I am called to proclaim every day in our words and in our actions. God bless you. And happy anniversary, 175 years. A mere blink in the eyes of God and the universe. But here we are. Thanks be to God. Amen.